All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Looks like we've got a really interesting set of sources to unpack today, all about hurricane preparedness, but with a specific focus on electric vehicles this time.
Yeah, it's a hot topic, especially with Hurricane Milton swirling around out there.
Definitely seems like you're ahead of the curve thinking about this now. So should we just dive right in?
Let's do it.
Perfect. Well, first up, we've got that news article about Hurricane Milton itself. And wow, it sounds like things could get pretty intense out there pretty quickly.
Yeah, this is not your average storm. Right now, Tropical Storm Milton is just kind of doing its thing out in the Gulf. But they're saying it's on track to become a major Category 3 hurricane. By midwinter, actually.
The week?
And the projections show it's slamming right into the Florida coast, somewhere between Tampa and Naples.
Between Tampa and Naples, that's a huge chunk of coastline. You know, whenever I hear about hurricanes, I always think about those evacuation routes just being totally jammed, but I never really connected the dots to just how many EVs are going to be on the roads now, too.
It's a whole new set of considerations for sure. In fact, this article, it actually mentions that Florida is getting ready for what could be its biggest evacuation since Hurricane Irma
Wow.
back in 2017. Can you imagine the strain on charging stations, especially if the power starts going out?
Speaking of charging stations, you've just reminded me of something from one of those other sources, that guide from Felhesh.
The Federal Alliance for Safe Homes, right?
That's the one. They made a really good point about how even if you can charge up before evacuating all those charging stations, they could get totally slammed.
Oh, absolutely. Like
Right.
trying to find a gas station when everyone's trying to get out of town.
Exactly. Talk about adding stress to an already stressful situation.
For sure. And you know, this article about Milton, it also highlights something else that's a little unsettling. Apparently, there's still debris on the ground from Hurricane Helene.
Oh, wow. So they're dealing with the aftermath of one storm while prepping for another.
Exactly. Can you imagine another hurricane hitting before they even have things cleaned up from the last one?
That's rough. Talk about a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, it really highlights how important those prep steps are. Having a plan, securing your home.
Knowing your route.
It's easy to overlook the basics when you're worried about the new stuff, like how to prep your EV.
Well, speaking of EVs, you know, your sources brought up some pretty important points, things I hadn't even considered, really. And it all comes down to those lithium-ion batteries.
Which are great for powering our cars.
In normal circumstances, but in a hurricane, especially with potential flooding, they become a whole other concern.
Yeah, that's one of the things they really dove into.
You know, I've always heard about lithium-ion batteries being a fire hazard, but I never really understood why. Like, what makes them so dangerous?
So basically, it's all about water. If the battery gets damaged by water, like in a flood, it can create a short circuit.
Okay, that makes sense. But I'm guessing it's not just a little spark.
Not quite. That short circuit can trigger something called thermal runaway.
Then we'll run away.
It's basically a chain reaction inside the battery cells.
Yeah.
It can cause them to ignite.
So, like, the whole battery could go up in flames.
It's a possibility.
Yeah.
And here's the really scary part. This thermal runaway, it can happen right away after the water damage, or it can happen days or even weeks later.
Wait, really?
Yeah. So imagine you think your car is fine after a flood, but then all of a sudden.
Oh, wow. I had no idea there was a delayed reaction like that. That is terrifying. And it makes those post-storm precautions even more important, right?
You got it.
Yeah.
Knowing what to do and what not to do after a hurricane,
Yeah.
it could literally be a matter of life and death. But I'm getting ahead of
Well,
myself.
you're right. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's start at the beginning. If you had to evacuate, I'd assume you'd want to charge your EV to 100%, right?
Sounds logical, right?
Just like filling up your gas tank.
You'd think so. But actually, both of your EV sources, they actually advise against waiting till the last minute to charge, even if you are planning to evacuate.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm curious, why wouldn't you want a full charge if you had to evacuate?
It all comes down to bottlenecks. Think about those gas stations we were just talking about. If everyone waits until the last minute.
Oh, right. The lines get insane.
Exactly. And it's the same thing with EV charging stations. If every EV owner in an evacuation zone gets the same idea, those stations would be completely overwhelmed. Plus, there's always a chance those stations could lose power themselves.
Yeah, it's like a self-inflicted traffic jam, except instead of cars, it's people desperately searching for a charge. So, if you're planning to head out of Hurricane Milton's path, topping off that EV charge well in advance, that's got to be priority number one. Okay, so we've covered the charging situation. What else did those sources say about getting your EV ready?
Well, they both really stressed knowing your EV's range. like really knowing it, because you do not want to be stuck halfway to your destination, especially if those charging stations are few and far between or out of juice themselves.
Right. Range anxiety takes on a whole new meaning when there's a hurricane on your tail. So we've talked about if you're hitting the road, but what about those who are staying put? Those who are going to ride out the storm at home, what should they be doing with their EVs?
Okay, so if you're staying put, that's where things get really interesting.
Oh, so.
Well, this whole 50-foot rule thing comes into play.
The 50-foot rule? I've never heard of that.
Yeah, both sources were really adamant about this one. They said if you're riding out the storm at home, you need to park your EV at least 50 feet away from any structures, like your house and other vehicles too.
50 feet? Wow, that's a lot farther than I would have thought. Why so far?
So part of it is about minimizing damage from flying debris, which obviously is a big concern in a hurricane. But the bigger issue, they said, is reducing the risk of a potential battery fire. You know, if the battery were to ignite, you wouldn't want it to be close to anything flammable.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Keep it away from your house. Keep it away from anything it could catch fire to. Makes sense. So 50-foot rule, check. What about keeping it plugged in? Should people leave their EVs plugged in during the storm?
That's another one where it's not necessarily intuitive, but both sources actually recommended reducing your EV's charge to below 30% if you're going to be riding out the storm at home.
Wait, really? You want a low battery during a power outage. I would think you'd want it as charged as possible.
I know. It seems counterintuitive, right?
Mm.
But they said it all comes back to that thermal runaway risk. Apparently, lowering the charge level, it minimizes the amount of energy stored in the battery, which then reduces the intensity of a potential fire.
Oh, okay. So if something happens and there's damage and the battery does ignite, it's less explosive.
Exactly. It's kind of like, I don't know, turning off the gas to your stove if you're going out of town.
Yeah.
You're just being extra cautious.
Mm-hmm. Better safe than sorry, especially with something like this. This is such valuable information, and honestly, not just for EV owners, but for anyone who lives near someone with an EV.
All right, so we've covered a lot about getting prepped, what to do with your EV before the storm hits. Let's fast forward a bit. The storm's here. What about in the moment? What are those split-second decisions EV drivers, or really any driver, needs to be thinking about during the actual hurricane?
Well, the biggest one, and this goes for everyone, not just EV owners, is whatever you do, do not drive through floodwaters.
Yeah, that seems like a recipe for disaster no matter what kind of car you're driving. But it's easy to say that when you're safe inside looking out. I imagine it's a lot harder when you're in the moment and facing down a flooded road.
Absolutely. And, you know, it might seem obvious, but you'd be amazed how many people take that risk. Yeah, it's a good reminder. A flooded road is a dangerous road, period. So what about if you didn't evacuate, you hunkered down, and now the storm has passed? What should people do once it's safe to go outside again?
Okay, so the aftermath, that's really where those lithium-ion battery risks can become a major concern, even if you did everything right beforehand. The most important thing to remember is if your EV got flooded, do not, under any circumstances, attempt to drive it or charge it.
And that goes even if it looks fine from the outside.
Especially if it looks fine, because you might not be able to see the damage.
Yeah.
Water could have gotten into the casing, you know, causing corrosion or damage that you wouldn't even be able to see. And remember how we were talking about how that thermal runaway can happen later on?
Right, like a ticking time bomb.
Exactly. So the absolute safest thing to do if your EV's been in a flood is to call 911.
You're kidding. You call 911 for a fluid car.
Absolutely. Let them know what's going on, and they'll have the proper procedures for towing and inspection. They'll bring in people who know how to deal with a potentially damaged EV.
Wow. Okay. So even after the storm has passed, EV owners need to be super vigilant. It seems like that post-storm awareness is just as important as all that prep work we were talking about.
100%. And while we're on the topic of post-storm stuff, your sources also mentioned something really important about those damaged batteries. Make sure you dispose of them properly.
Wait, so you can't just, like, throw them in the trash?
Definitely not. Lithium-ion batteries, they can cause fires even in a landfill.
Oh, wow. I had no idea.
Yeah, there are specific ways to get rid of them safely. So that's something to check with your local authorities or waste management folks.
So it's not just about protecting yourself and your own property. It's about protecting everyone else, too.
That's a really good point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground on the EV-specific stuff, but, you know, those sources you sent, they also had some really great general hurricane prep tips that I think everyone should hear. Should we jump into those for a bit?
You know, it's funny. Reading through these tips, it's like you forget how resourceful people can be when it comes to hurricane prep. Like, who knew your dishwasher could be a lifesaver?
Right. That one's genius. Heavy-duty trash bags to protect your important documents. And where did they say to put them? The dishwasher?
Or the dryer.
It's brilliant. They're up off the ground. They're pretty watertight.
Yeah.
Talk about a hurricane hack.
Who knew appliances had such an exciting secret life?
But
speaking of simple but brilliant, that freezer tip, I gotta say, that one really caught my eye too.
The one with the Ziploc bags.
Yeah. You fill them up with water, freeze them solid. It's like making your own ice packs to keep your food cold if the power goes out. So smart.
You gotta be resourceful.
Yeah.
And that reminds me of another one from your sources, the whole bathtub thing.
Oh, yeah. You line the tub with a plastic sheet, fill it up.
Instant emergency water reservoir.
It's genius. Because if your water supply goes out, you know, which can totally happen in a hurricane, at least you've got some backup.
For flushing and stuff, yeah.
Which, let's be real, that becomes a top priority when you're stuck at home without power. And of course, no matter what kind of car you drive, EV or not, parking in a safe spot, always key.
Absolutely. Away from trees, if you can swing a parking garage, even better.
It's all about minimizing those risks, right? And, you know, speaking of minimizing risk, I gotta say, thinking about all this hurricane prep and then throwing in the whole EV aspect, it's a lot.
It can definitely feel overwhelming.
It makes you realize how important it is to be informed and prepared.
Hurricanes are stressful enough without having to worry about your car catching fire.
Exactly. So you've got to take those steps to reduce the risks.
And give yourself a little peace of mind.
Exactly. You know, as we're wrapping up here, I'm realizing we've covered a ton of ground today. Everything from EV safety to, like, DIY hurricane life hacks. Who knew?
It's amazing what you can learn.
Right. And, you know, we've really just scratched the surface here, haven't we? I mean, we've given a good overview of the basics, especially with the EV stuff.
Which, by the way, if you're listening to this and you've got an EV, do yourself a favor.
Yeah. Don't just take our word for it.
Go read your car's manual.
Yeah.
Check the manufacturer's website. Those guys are the real expert.
Exactly. They'll have all the specific details for your particular make and model.
Because when it comes to something as important as your safety, knowledge is power.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Well, on that note, we'll let you get to your hurricane prep. Stay safe out there, everyone, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.